Amen. Amen. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. We're going to speak on the subject of stay focused. Everybody say stay focused. So we're going to learn the discipline of focus and harness the power of being single-minded. Now, again, we're going to look at a good example, and then we're going to look at a negative example, and we're going to learn some lessons from these two Bible leading Bible characters that we're going to learn and receive from today. Praise God. And so we're in our series called Looking Ahead, but today's specific sermon is Stay Focused. Everybody say stay focused. All right, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, it says, but the path of the just is a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And so the path for the believer is supposed to be getting brighter and brighter, not darker and darker or more confusing. Now, you always got to get this clue, because your pathway, my pathway, our pathway collectively, and your pathway collectively as a family should be clear. And one of the definitions of focus or meanings of the word focus is clear vision. We should have clear and full clarity of the vision, plan, and purpose of God for our lives. Everybody say, stay focused. So in other words, our forward progress in the Lord and in the things of God are to become more clearer and clearer until we have full clarity. Until the way, the will of God, the ways of God, the work of God in our respective lives. And the things of God are not to become more confusing or cloudy or conflictual in your heart and in your life. Because if you feel like you're spinning your wheels in the mud, or you're like treadmilling, so to speak, or hamster wheeling, and going backwards, so to speak, that's not the will of God. If we're going to experience victory, if we're going to have miracles, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to get it this way, going forward. The way of God is never to go backwards. The will of God is always increase and never decrease. Now, let's look at an example that we see through Jeremiah 7. Jeremiah 7, verse 23 through 24, he said, but the thing commanded them, I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. And you will walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. So the will of God is for it to be well with you. But look at verse 24, but they hearken not, nor incline their ear. In other words, they didn't listen to God. They were hard-headed or hard-hearted. And because they walked in the counsels of their imagination, of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Amen. So we don't want to go backwards. We want to go forward. And this has always been the problem with people getting hard-hearted and hard-headed. They go backwards and not forward. Hebrews 3:12. And 13, it says, beware, brethren, lest there be any of you of an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. What departs from God? What defects from the church? An evil heart of unbelief. That's what causes defection and departure. Look at verse 13. But exhort one another daily, as well as called today, lest any of you should be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now, we were talking about sowing and reaping in the offering teaching, and a man's harvest, Galatians 6:7, J.B. Phillips translation, a man's harvest in life depends entirely upon that which he sows. So this is not a suggestion. They said exhort one another daily. So the question is, are you an encourager of other brothers and sisters? Some of us live kind of reclusive, maybe isolated, independent. You're kind of to yourself. And that's okay to have that kind of personality or that preference. But the scripture tells us to exhort one another daily. That means we have to sometimes step out of our box and step out of our world and be an encourager. What does it mean to be an encourager? As we said last week, To be an encourager means that you show expressions of support. How many expressions of support have you given toward other people? It also means to give words of hope. That means you are to be a hope dealer, not a dope dealer, and certainly not a doubt peddler or doubt dealer. You're supposed to be a hope dealer. Praise the Lord. And then, of course, third way of encouraging is to refresh someone's spirit. Now, I'm not just talking about physically giving somebody a glass of good water. No, but refresh their spirit with words that are like a fresh glass of water. Words that are like a fresh, good, holy, hydrated beverage that will bring you pleasure, but also bring you peace to your heart. What are your words bringing to someone else's spirit? They should be bringing peace and pleasure. That's when you refresh someone's spirit. He said, exhort one another daily. Now, what does it mean with sowing and reaping? What does that have to do with sowing and reaping, Pastor? Well, I'm glad you asked, because when you sow encouragement, you get. It's applying the golden rule. What you want done for you, you do to others. If you just want to stay by yourself and look at your stuff and be on your own, salvation is never to be private. It is personal, but it's never private. So one another scriptures are littered through the New Testament, and they are a big deal. And because you can stay in your own misery and in your own mess, and then you can remain in a bad mood all the time. But you need to be an encourager. Everybody say, be an encourager. All right, so we showed you, talked about how to be an encourager at length here. So we should be getting about it. All right, the Israelites were guilty of departing from the living God because they did what? This is the mechanics of two big legs. They refused to, number one, to believe his promises, and two, to live by faith. Now, this first one is a real big one. I'm going to talk about it a little bit more later in the message as we talk about staying focused. Because some people don't want to believe the promises. Now, they'll believe the scientists, but they won't believe the Savior. When all truth is in Jesus, when all Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I don't care how many doctor degrees they have. You know, God bless them and thank them. We're thankful for people who have gone that mile and gone to that place of getting highly educated and highly good at those particular arenas. But they're not Jesus. They're not the Lord. They're not God. Amen? We trust in the Savior more than we trust in science. Thank God for science, and thank God for medical science at that, because they help a lot of people. But they're not God. And so when God says, no evil shall befall you, no harm shall come, no plague shall come near your dwelling, do you believe it or do you not? I was joking my wife the other day. I said, it's just amazing. People still wearing masks in their own car. People are afraid to go to church because they feel like they're going to get sick. Do you believe the promise when he said in Luke 10:19, he said, "You behold, I give unto you power to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you." Come on now. Do you believe that the devil's under your feet? That means if the devil's under your feet, any disease, any diagnosis, any debilitation, any disabilities under your feet, you get to trample on serpents and scorpions. Do you believe his promise when he says in Psalms 103, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord and forget not all his benefits. What? He forgives all of our iniquities, who heals all of my diseases. I'm talking about all of them. Every single one of our sickness and diseases. He redeems our life from destruction. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He fills my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Do we believe the promise in Isaiah 54:17 that says no weapon? Come on there, everybody say no weapon. No weapon. I'm talking about when the people, you know, conspiracy theory stuff, that it was weaponized, you know, COVID-19 was a weaponized chimera virus or whatever the case may be. Now, come on, no weapon. Everybody say no weapon. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Come on now. And every tongue that shall rise up against you in condemnation shall be brought down to the wrong and condemnation. No words, no weapon, no wicked virus is going to come prosper against you. Somebody said, glory to God. Do you believe the promises when he said in Mark 16:17? Come on now. This is why people go backwards. They refuse to believe the promises. He said, in my name, these signs shall follow them that believe. Mark 16:17. In my name, they shall drive out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. Come on now. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. That means I got supernatural indemnification. My food is protected and my finances are protected. Come on, somebody say glory to God. He says that they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That means if I start sniffing, coughing, sneezing, in the name of Jesus, I'm recovering right now. Come on now. I take my delivery of my healing because Matthew 8:17 says himself took my infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Somebody say glory to God. So they refuse to believe the promises. And then the second one is also big. Live by faith. We got to live by faith. Now, I did not say live by facts. Because some people watch so much news, they're full of facts and they're not full of faith. You know, there's some good news reporters and there's some fake news reporters. But this all what? Facts. It's all facts. There's no faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I don't care what the facts say. What does the word say? And then by faith, we choose to believe what God says, not just what the facts say. Because faith takes the truth of God's word and speaks them into the facts of our circumstances and changes the facts in our lives. Come on now. We got to not refuse to walk by faith. Too many people are walking by fear. False evidence appearing real. So they're always spouting the facts. Some people say, you got to wash your hands. You got to wash your hands. You got sanitizer. Some people say sanitizer is bad for your hands. You got all kinds of facts out there. But what am I going to believe? The report of the Lord. Everybody say the report of the Lord. Somebody say the report of the Lord. All right. Hebrews 10:38 says, now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We are not to live and walk and talk. We are to live and walk and talk by faith. That's the way we move forward and go forward is by faith. Everybody say by faith. Now, next month, we're going to be talking about the spirit of faith because we need to get back into faith. Because too many people are succumbing to and slipping into fear. We don't want you to miss it. We're going to start a new series called Spirit of Faith. Because the spirit of faith is taught. A principle of faith can be taught, but the spirit of faith must be caught. We need to catch a spirit of faith. Why? Because we got to live by it. Too many times we're talking facts and figures. Stop just talking facts and figures. Talk faith. Walk faith. Live faith. Speak faith. Decree faith. Somebody say glory to God. Act upon the word of God. That's faith. The way we move forward and go forward is by faith. We should not draw back from living from faith. Faith refuses to look back, to go back to the world and the ways of the world, because the best is yet to come. Now listen to me, friends. When you believe and you're expecting that the best is yet to come, you act like it. When you act like you're excited about it. You're rejoicing in the Lord that, like, you know, my future is brighter and bigger and better than my past. You say, well, Pastor, I'm almost in the grave. I'm getting on up there in age. No, if your memories are bigger than your present experiences, then you need to get back in faith. Because everybody said the best is yet to come. Hallelujah. When you believe that, that spirit gives you confidence and courage to go forward. When you believe that and you receive that, that gives you confidence and courage to go forward. Everybody say amen to that. All right, so let's talk about staying focused. Praise God. Glory to God. Whew. Man, I preached myself happy already. Glory to God. Philippians chapter 3, we're going to look at a good example. Good example here. Reading out of King James Bible. We're going to read from verse 1 through 14. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To me, the right the same to you is not, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Everybody say, this is safe. This is a safe example to follow. Amen. He said, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. We'll explain that later. And we are of the circumcision, which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, he's setting us up for something here. Verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Verse 5, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of the Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. Were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Now, he begins to introduce how he compares and contrasts having Christ and having other things before Christ, outside of Christ. As we said sometimes in this context of the calling of God of your life, a calling is what you're made for. A career is what you're paid for. And so Paul is beginning to differentiate between his calling and his former career. Now he begins to tell us, beware of dogs. I'm going to pick up reading in just a minute. But he said, beware of dogs. Why? Because sincere Christians rejoice in Christ. Now, what does it mean when we say rejoice in Christ Jesus? That means you rejoice in his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension, his finished works, his present grace to help. Remember, Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ, who? Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Verse 21 says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. In other words, I'm going to frustrate what God has already given, what Jesus has already done. See, when we're not in faith, we frustrate what Jesus has already done and what God has already given. What do dogs do? I'm glad you asked. Who are these dogs? Well, in Isaiah chapter 56, verse 10, the prophet Isaiah calls false prophets dogs that bark with no bark and bite with no bite. You go back and read it. He called them dogs. See, dogs for this reason, for their malice against faithful professors of the gospel of Christ, looking at and biting them. Now, this word malice just means a desire to cause pain or injury or distress to another. So someone with malice desires to hurt somebody or to injure somebody or to hinder somebody from going forward, because I want you to stay here in the misery and the mess I'm in. We called it on the East Coast crabs in the bucket, because you see crabs in the bucket and one's trying to climb out and go forward and go higher, and what happens? The other ones pull them down. A bunch of dog crabs. The malice also means it is an intent to commit an unlawful act or cause harm without legal justification or cause. In other words, someone knows it's selfishness, it's sin, it's Satan's works, but they still promote it. They still participate in it. They still practice. They're a dog. Amen. And of course, he told us to beware of those dogs for biting. He urged the human works. Urged human works in opposition to the faith of Christ. So some people try to compensate by sacrifice. Listen to me. What they lose through disobedience. The first one big character in the Bible that we know about that did that was Saul. He said to Samuel, the prophet, after he heard the Amalekite prosperity, the bleating of sheep and the mooing of cows and the women and children running around, and he had the king Agag, when he was told to utterly destroy the Amalekites. And Samuel said, "What is I hear?" And he said, "Does the Lord delight in sacrifice? And does he hearken to the fat of ram instead of obeying his voice?" See, our obedience in the New Testament is the obedience of faith. In what? In who? In the finished works of Jesus, and there's works for us to fulfill and follow throughout. In Christ, not outside of Christ. And so some people urge human work. Well, let me just do this to make up for me not obeying here. Many people do it in the financial arena. They figure I can just do this and not give. Some people do it in the time arena. They try to pay off and put away obedience by their sacrifice. You can't compensate by sacrifice what you lose through disobedience. Glory to God. And then he begins to introduce how other people, like dogs, were bragging about their flesh. Now notice he mentions his associations. He was a Hebrew. He mentions his achievements. He mentions his academics. He mentions his accomplishments. I like to call it this way: your stuff, your status, your security, and your success. But he begins to introduce a word called loss. Everybody say loss. Everybody say loss. He said, verse 7, pick it up, verse 7 again. But what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. So he begins to give us an analogy of him analyzing two things in his life: his career, his before Christ, outside of Christ, and in Christ, calling. And he said all of the stuff, all of the status, all of the security, all of the success, I counted loss. In other words, you can imagine he has an accounting ledger. This is he said count is an accounting term. I counted loss. So he's got on one side what's an asset, what's good for me, what's good to me. I'm counting as an asset. What's a liability? In other words, what's on my loss side of the ledger? We know that the concept of business is profit and loss, one of the concepts. And so a loss ledger, in other words, this Greek word, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in the Lord, this Greek word loss, he is defined as liability. In other words, if I trust in this stuff, in this status, in this security, in this success, it will become a liability to fulfilling my calling in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 8. He said, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss. All things are a liability in the natural outside of Christ. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Look at this. For whom I've suffered the loss. Do you get the picture? He's talking about loss. He's talking about things that we can become that can become liabilities in our lives. That means you can't count on them. You can't count and put your stake and stock in all your stuff, in your status, in your security, and in your success. Are you listening to me? He said, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, whom I suffer the loss of all things, and I count them but dung, that I may win Christ. In other words, on the level of what that's worth from my career, it's like cow dung. It's cow caca. Compared to winning Christ. Because a lot of people who were doggish back then were putting confidence in the flesh, saying, hey, I'm circumcised, come to the right grade, do these works. And they were trying to become religiously correct and do righteousness through their works so they can brag and boast in what they have done, what they have, what they got going on. You see it a lot, particularly promoted through social media. This is what I got going on. I'm going to leave that alone. I'll keep going. All right, in verse 9. To be found in him and not having my own righteousness, which is the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. Who? The faith of Christ. Everybody say the faith of Christ. The righteousness of God, which is by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Verse 12, not as though I already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. There he says what he's doing. Of God in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Again, a career is what you're paid for. A calling is what you're made for. And if we're made new creations in Christ, we are to be pursuing hotly our high calling in Christ Jesus. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And, of course, we need to understand this aspect, that the Christian believer who longs to finish well will cultivate three disciplines. Number one, the discipline of focus, striving for the single goal, the one thing, until its completion, undeterred by obstacles or the taunts of the crowd. Now, multitasking is a myth. Having divided focus is a bad thing. Having broken focus is an evil thing. You got to stay focused on the one thing. Everybody say the one thing. He said, this one thing I do. Now ask yourself the question, ladies and gentlemen. What one thing are you doing in pursuing your calling? I'm not talking about pursuing your career or promoting your business. I'm talking about pursuing your calling, because that's what you've been made for. Number two, the discipline of forgetting. Refusing to be paralyzed or rendered complacent by the past. Now, a lot of people who brag in the flesh think and also transfer their belief and confidence in their flesh to say, I've done enough. I've given enough. I've served enough. And they don't go forward anymore. They go backwards. They slow down. They step down. They step out of serving. This is never a time to be stepping down. This is the best time to be serving God with the most of your time, your talent, your treasure, and your testimony. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, you got to forget those things that are behind. Listen, friends, you'll never be able to go forward with God unless you forget the past. Because the past will imprison you and will paralyze you. Now, forgetting describes this concept, something that is obsolete. Now, we say it just in the context of serving. Yesterday's excellence is tomorrow's mediocrity. You should never say, well, I was faithful back at that time. That means you never were faithful the whole time. Faithfulness should last a lifetime. So we should forget all of our past, what? Accomplishments, achievements, accolades, amen, associations, amen, and our stuff, our status, our security, our success. Hey, I did this. Man, remember the day when we did this, I did that? Yes. We even got to forget about yesterday. We had a great time yesterday, but you got to forget about that and move forward. Amen. Until we get more houses covered, reach for Christ. Until we see more people come into the kingdom. Come on now. It's never enough to say, well, I got my one person saved. No, we're going for the second person, and then the 10th person, and then the 20th person. Come on now. We're going forward. We're not going backwards. We're staying focused. And we're having the discipline of forgetting. And then, of course, number three, the discipline of following. So that means intensely pursuing the calling of the Christian life until victory has been won. We're not going for 75% victory. You don't quit and say, well, we got the lead. Two teams in the NBA playoffs didn't understand what the Denver Nuggets were able to do. We got the lead. We got 3-1. We just relax and coast to the next level. No, they both got beat because they came back on them. You don't want the devil to come back and feel like he's winning with momentum. You want to have the discipline of following through, following, intensely pursuing the calling, your calling, not your career, your calling of your Christian life until victory has been won. Focus, because focus is a choice. He says this one thing. Each of us have a choice. We can be a wandering generality. We can say, well, I'm good at multitasking. I can walk and chew bubblegum. Yes, you can walk and chew bubblegum at the same time. But you want to be a meaningful specific. You don't want to be a jack of all trades and master of none. You don't want to just start stuff and never finish stuff. You don't want to just mess up and never clean up. Come on now. And catch up. Come on now. Somebody say glory to God. You have to focus on your goal. What's the goal? Being focused is the difference between good and the best. We see Paul had focus. And we know that he was a man of faith because he was looking ahead at something that he did not yet have. Are you looking ahead to something you do not yet have? I'm not talking about stuff outside of Christ. I'm talking about in Christ. Maybe your body is not yet fully healed. Stay focused on the healing promises and the healing power of God. Amen. And the healing provisions through the scriptures. Somebody say glory to God. Everybody say stay focused. You may not yet have your house paid off, your car paid off, your bills all paid off. But stay focused to say that all of my needs are met and I'm out of debt and there's plenty of more to put in store. Come on now. God has given back to me, pressed down, good measure, pressed together, shaken together, running over forevermore. Praise God. Hallelujah. You might not yet have all your family members in the kingdom yet, but stay focused. Because if I believe on the Lord, I'll be saved and my whole household. Praise God. God said it. I believe it. And that's what I'm focusing on, what he said and not what I see. Paul got where he was because he was focused on the goal in faith. He didn't just wander around wondering without any plan or purpose. His eyes were focused. Amen. So we can't let the battle of make us lose focus of where we're going and what we're supposed to be doing. Amen. 1 Corinthians 7:20-24. I'm going to hurry up. Just give me a few more minutes here. We're almost done. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Amen. Brethren, let each one remain with God in the state in which he was called. Are you staying in your place? And you staying in your grace? And are you running your race? Are you staying in your calling? See, we can't just uncall ourselves. Now, we can try to act like we're uncalled. But we can't put and shouldn't put God on call waiting. Stay where God places you. And stay focused and faithful where God has placed you. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 6:22, therefore, if thy eye be single, their whole body shall be full of light. That means if you're focused on his calling and not trying to have 7 or 10 careers, then you will stay full of light. There'll be clarity. You'll have focus, which is clear vision. But if you try to focus on your career, your 7 and 10 callings, 7 and 10 ideas, or trying to do things one hand tied behind your neck, you can always be confused and clouded up. And things will be complicated in your life. And just like Jesus said, your whole body's going to be full of darkness. You can't see 4 feet in front of you. These are powerful principles, ladies and gentlemen. See, stay in your lane. Stay on your mission and keep the main thing in your life. How successful you will become in life will be determined by how much you stay focused where you belong. Some people are focused on heaven when they're not in heaven yet. Don't focus on going to heaven. Focus on doing everything to the fulfillment and completion of your calling on earth. Somebody say glory to God. I'm going to give you this acronym. I'm going to kind of skip some of the details a little bit because of time. And then we'll close it up with the last story. Everybody good? All right. So we broke focus down into an acronym to give you five steps to God's best. The F is focus. Everybody say focus. Focus on the goal. It means your marks, your intermediate goals and objectives that you pressed on. So everybody should know, what's my next mark? Now, you can look at it just systematically, like I'm telling you right now. What's my next giving mark? 15%? 10% tithes, 5% offering? The Holy Spirit might tell you 15%. Might tell you 20%. What's your next mark on your giving? What's your next mark on your serving? What's your next mark on your marriage and family relationship? What's your next mark in ministry? Overcome indifferences. Indifference is a dangerous state of mind. It is defined as absence of compulsion to or toward one thing or another. That means you just don't care. Other synonyms are apathy, lack of enthusiasm, detachment, lack of interest. Indifference is a dream killer. Overcome indifference. We all get tempted to be indifferent. Hebrews 6:12 says in the Living Bible, knowing that what lies before ahead of you, so you won't become bored and be a Christian with being a Christian, nor become spiritually dull and indifferent. But you will be anxious to follow the example of those who receive all God has promised them because they were strong of their strong faith and patience. Don't become bored being a Christian. Don't become bored and bitter coming to church. Overcome indifference. C, conquer. What do you conquer? Fear, worry, panic, paralysis. The devil is the author of fear. He uses fear as a powerful weapon to cripple and destroy God's people. He sends the spirit of fear to make and cause us to cower from our faith and control our focus. He tries to get us to cower in faith and then controls our focus. 2 Timothy 1:7, we all know it. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and what? A sound mind. Praise God. U is undue blurred vision. Undue blurred vision. Focus equals clear vision. To be blurry means your focus is not clear. You know how you get a new pair of glasses and you're like, man, I can see clearly now. Better. All the scratch marks and scuff marks and smudge marks are gone. The old prescription that's maybe a year or two old is better now. Somebody say glory to God. Clear vision. Y'all know what I'm talking about. All right, S, stop hanging with unfocused friends. Now, this is a big one. See, friends, to taste the results of total focus, you must disassociate from people who are unfocused and who aren't running the same race you're running. Proverbs says it this way, it's 27:19, the Living Bible. As a mirror reflects a man's face, but what he is really like is shown by the kind of friends he chooses. You are who you hang around. And you know what they say, you run with dogs, you what? You catch fleas. See, we typically have no little or no choice of our family because we're born in that family or you married into that family. But we do have full freedom to choose our friends. Because, see, as hard as it sounds, ladies and gentlemen, it's better to be alone to be with the wrong company. It's Somebody said, I don't want to be alone. I'm just going to pick somebody. Well, don't pick dogs. Don't pick unfocused friends. See, relationships shape character. Right associations are important because they lift you up and advance you. We all know people who we don't think they need God. Because some people think, I don't need church. And they talk you out of church. And they talk you out of Christ. And they talk you out of living by faith in Christ. And see, they maybe appear to be living on easy street and moving forward without him because it's easy to be ungodly in this world. Man, you can start sinning and everybody will start accepting you. You get one person nominated that believes Christian faith and is passionate about Christianity, and the whole world's upset. Because you got Christ standards. Somebody said, glory to God. See, it take the high road. God has more for you than a dead-end street. So where the focus on first, our God-given purpose. Second, your glorious good plan of God for your lives. Jeremiah 29 says, I know the plans I have for you, said the Lord. The plans that are for good and not for disaster. God doesn't plan for you to die and just lose all your money through the pandemic. His plans are to prosper you. His plans are to make things well for you. They are good for you. Not to say, and to give you future and a hope. See, God has a plan. God is a planner. Planning is winning. It's planning that gives value to purpose. And purpose is dead without a plan. What's the plan, Lord? It's planning that empowers purpose to deliver. Planning is important. Without a plan, every building requires a plan. Victims in life usually fall in two areas, lack of planning or poor planning. You need to be strategic planning in your planning to maximize your ministry and business endeavors. If you're not futuristic in your approach, you cannot earn a future. What's your plan? And see, good news is that God has a plan. Everybody say, God has a plan. And then you press toward the prize for which we achieve, which is the marks. So everybody should be. See, focus is the only way to destroy distraction. Now, I was going to talk about dangerous distraction, but I run out of time. So we'll pick it up at another time, and we'll talk about that. But see, one of the main reasons people fail in life is broken focus. Now, when we do like, and you can reference it, Samuel, 2 Samuel 11, 1 through 5, we were reading out a New Living Translation, but one of the biggest things that David made mistake of, he ignored his place and his purpose. Somebody say, well, he sinned with Bathsheba. He committed adultery. No, that was the consequences, the results of what? Him ignoring his place and his purpose. Listen to me. When you get out of your place, you get out of your grace, and you fall on your face. When you ignore your purpose, you end up abusing and misusing your life. And you chase fulfillment decoys because purpose is tied to fulfillment. Reason a lot of people are not happy and they're hurting emotionally and mentally is because they're not in their purpose. They're ignoring their purpose. When you're doing what God wants for the reason he wants them, you will be the most happy and fulfilled person in the universe. But when you are not in your purpose, you get bored, you get bothered, you get bitter, and you go bad. Y'all get something out of this today? So there is dangers to being distraction, because distraction, as we said before, are the disruption of your dream in slow motion. Stop letting the TV distract you. Stop letting your devices distract you. Stop letting other people who mean you no good but just harm distract you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, stand to your feet. Praise God. Father God, we thank you.